Good morning. We're going to get started here in a minute. This is the DCAPE session. This is the one the archivist mentioned in his plenary the other day. We really do appreciate you coming out this early on a Saturday morning, especially after the reception last night. The entitle of this session is Distributed Custodial Archival Preservation Environments, DCAPE Project, Status Report, and Demos. You're actually going to see pre-alpha demos of some of the capabilities of this new system and this new service. My name is Mark Conrad. I'm from NARA's Center for Advanced Systems and Technologies, NCAST. In a previous life, I was Nancy Melle. I was the Director of Technology Initiatives at NHPRC, and I've met many of the people that are involved in this project over the years because of my involvement there. This morning we have three speakers. Karen Wojcik from the state of Michigan is the government records archivist. She has her BA and MA from the University of Michigan. She has been involved in many projects, many NHPRC projects. I'm trying to remember. Pat, the Archivist Workbench, not to be confused with the Archivist Toolkit. They stole our name. The RMA project, the PERM project. If you go to the NHPRC website, you can find all these projects. Karen will lead us off, give you an overview of what DCAPE is about. Then we have Chin-Yi Hao from the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, the SILS program there, the SALT Center, and the RENCI, the Renaissance Computing Institute. Chin-Yi has degrees in computer science from, I got to get this right. I'll still do it wrong. Chiao Tung University in Taiwan, and his master's is from University of California, San Diego. He used to work at the San Diego Supercomputer Center. Our third speaker today is not Elliot Wilczek. This is not Elliot. This is Veronica Martzel, who is the records archivist at Tufts University Digital Collections and Archives. She holds a master's in library and information studies with a concentration in archives and a master's of arts in history from Simmons. She currently serves on the Massachusetts SHRAB, the State Historical Records Advisory Board. She also is involved in a project that I have to ask her more about because I did not know about this, the COSTEP. You'll have to say something about that at some point. Which is about emergency preparedness for cultural institutions across the state of Massachusetts. And with that, I'm going to get out of their way because we've only got an hour here and we want to leave at least some time for your questions. So first up, we have Karen.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I'm going to give you kind of an introduction to what the DCAPE project is, what its goals are. A couple years ago, NHPRC issued a call for projects to design a digital preservation service with a business model for the archival community, a service that would fill the needs of archival repositories that cannot build and sustain their own in-house electronic records archive. The DCAPE grant was awarded in 2008 and officially started in December 2008. The project is scheduled to last 2.5 years, though we are planning on requesting a no additional funding extension for the time. We do have a project website, which I have up here for you. What exactly do we mean when we say distributed custodial preservation? What we define that as is physical custody of the archival collections is distributed outside of the archival repository itself to a trusted preservation service. The archival repository itself retains legal custody. remains responsible for all archival functions, including preservation and access. And access to the collections is controlled by the archival repository. We're distributing the storage and the services that are associated with that storage environment. DCAPE has a lot of partners, 28 people across 9 institutions, plus 4 staff at UNC, for a total of 32 participants. Anyone who is a DCAPE partner in the room, if you could just stand for a second. So we have people from the Getty Research Institute, from West Virginia University and Carleton University. State archives participating include California, Kansas, Michigan, Kentucky, North Carolina, and New York. Thanks. You don't have to stand the rest of the time. We have the State Library of North Carolina. We have Tufts University. And then we have various institutes at UNC that are participating in the project. And so, having a group of this size can sometimes feel a bit unmanageable, but we've been all really good at volunteering to work on specific aspects of the project in smaller teams and then bringing things back to the larger group for review and comment. The goals of the project are to build an actual preservation environment that meets the needs of archival repositories for trusted archival preservation services. These services are based on policies or rules that are defined by the archivist. So a series of rules put together may tell you, for example, when files are ingested, replicate them in 3 different locations, then run a checksum on each file, bit check the files every month, and send alert about any changes on the files. So that series of rules are operated by the system itself and can happen automatically. Another goal is to have a trusted digital repository infrastructure that will be assembled from state-of-the-art rules-based data management systems, commodity storage systems, and sustainable preservation services. The software infrastructure will automate many of the administrative tasks associated with the management of archival repositories, including authentication, replication, migration, obsolete file management, preservation metadata management. The list goes on and on. Tasks that we have taken on. We have developed service agreements between UNC and the partners in the project for testing collections. We recognized that we would need 2 versions of service level agreements, one to cover the project time frame itself, and then eventually when we have a real service in place, we'll need to develop a different type of service level agreement that covers the management of collections in a true operational environment. Another task was to define rules and services. A small group of us went through the OAIS framework to identify a list of rules and services that we felt the DCAPE service should be providing. Those were then mapped to the track audit checklist. So that we are following some accepted standard type documents in the development of this service. Another task is ingesting test collections into the service and validating the rules and services that have been developed, and we'll be showing you some of that today. One of our next steps is to work on developing a business model that includes costs for sustaining the repository service, and then to build those final model service agreements that will define the standard and optional services of DCAPE. The role of IRODS in the project is to serve as a preservation environment that provides rule-based automation of archival functions. The goal is to have repeatable services. There will be standard and optional services. And our hope is that this shared service model will reduce costs for each archival repository when you compare it to the cost of building your own in-house preservation system. DCAPE is more than just a storage service or environment. It's more than a reference tool. Our real goal is to provide the capability for all archival repositories to fulfill their responsibility for preserving electronic records. In a moment, Shen-Yi is going to demonstrate the DCAPE interface for you. Just some comments about that. Our intention is to have a web-based interface with no software to download by the client or end user. That will mean that you also don't have to download upgrades over time. It would be downloaded at the service, those upgrades would be handled at the service provider end. Our goal is to have an intuitive interface for archivists to use, archivists who don't have a whole lot of computer science experience. One of the things, that can be a real hurdle is if, a lot of the other iRODS users have experience with programming and various computer languages, that's not going to fly for the archival community. And then, as I mentioned a moment ago, the services that are going into DCAPE have been developed by the team to align with the OAIS model and the track audit checklist. And that's my introduction to DCAPE, and I'm going to turn it over to Shen-Yi.
Good morning, everybody. So, thanks for Mark's introduction. And so, this project we have been working on this project like day and night for the past from this year, I think. So, most of my time contribute to this DCAPE interface, and I'm trying to do a live demo to you today. So we meet with our archivist partners, and they came out 26 DCAPE initial capabilities. Some of the capabilities can be implemented as a policy. If it's a policy, we can implement it as a rule within IROS. But some of them is not. Like some of them are concept, like you should provide a virtual loading dock, and some of them are like future requests, like you should have an interface that easy to use. IROS has lots of different clients that can for you to ingest data into the data grid, but they are not customized for the use for the archivist group. So my goal on this interface is try to fulfill those requirements. So I would like to highlight detail of the I would like to highlight technical detail. I don't want you to see the actual rule body. I just showed some to Veronica earlier, and I don't know how she thinks.
She's still on the stage.
And we like to provide more information that archivists care. Of course, the ability to customize the policy workflow, your own policy set, you can apply to your collections, and it is web-based, so you don't need to install anything as long as you have a web browser. So the first demo, I will pick up two services. One of them is checksum, and the second one is replication. So after you put you will ingest your data into a virtual loading dock. It will compute checksum automatically for you. Then there will be a attribute called approved by the archivist. Then you can come in manually approve that I think this package is ready to move to the preservation area and become an AIP. Then when you move the AIP into a preservation area, the system will do the replication for you. Okay. Exciting part coming. Okay, so this is the way a DCAP interface. So on
the left.
Yeah, on the left side of the screen, you can see a tree like file explorer window. And in the middle, you can see the collection name and the status of this collection. It says 100% means we have performed all the required tests to this collection. And on the right-hand side, you can see the metadata. And if I click policy, because we did not apply policy to the root collection, so there is no policy associated with it. And in the bottom is the audit trail. It will keep tracking what happened and the show on the bottom part for you. So, okay. So, let me create a new collection. I will call it SAA Demo 1. Creator is Chen Yi. And here I have some predefined metadata template. If you select one of them, it will pop up more template. More metadata field for you, but I'm not going to do that. Next step. This step is the most interesting part. It's called apply policy. If you have some predefined policy set, you can apply it here. And if you have, and you after you specify your customized your policy, you also have the option to save it for future use. Now the first one I said I want to do, checksum, no virus check, no tar file auto extraction. Tar file auto extraction is if you upload a tar file into the data grid and you have this option checked, it will automatically extract the file for you. So if you have lots of small files, then you can tie it together and just do one injection. And the archivist approval. This means archivists need to come in to check the package and approve it manually. And the AIP policy here, I want to do replication. Okay. And I don't want to open to the public. Next. Okay, confirm. So now in the, you can see I have a new collection called SAA Demo 1 pop up. The next step is to inject data into the repository. There are lots of IRAS clients doing the transfer out layer. And if you want to inject something from the website, from the web interface, it's not so good, not so efficient. So for here, I only have an option for you to upload one file, but you can use all the other IRAS client you like. Like I'm going to use the one I like now. Here, I go into virtual loading dock and the SA demo one, data for demo one. I select all the file, right click, and upload. You will see a progress bar in the button to show you the progress of the injection. Okay, we have all the file I want to use now. and then we go back to an interface, you can see in the bottom part of the audit trail, it shows you checksum being applied to what file at when. Okay. So we go back to see the SAA demo 1 folder, and you can see five files within this folder, and they are all 100%, which because we only need to do a checksum, and it has been executed when you ingest the file. So I think SAA demo 1 is ready. So I go to the policy. You can see there is a magic button over there. It's called archivist button. So if you are an archivist, you have the privilege come in to click this button to say it's ready. So I just pretend I'm one of them.
We're slowly turning him to the dark side.
Okay. I click yes. And you can see the changes. It's become from SIP to app, but it is still sitting inside a virtual loading dock because I have a rule running periodically in the background, and it will trigger after a certain period of time. So you don't need to do the job right, click the file. You can see there the file sit there, and the system will pick it up and move them to the preservation area for you later. Okay, so now I have the first one. Let's see the second. Okay. Not this one, sorry. Yeah, here. I have all the screen snapshot last night too. If I cannot get a internet signal here. So the second demo is I want to do checksum and the virus check, but I don't want to do replication. Those two demos shows you can apply different policies to different collections. It's all at your hands. So the second demo. Okay, I do the new new collection, SA. Demo 2, creator, sort, lab, okay, sort group, next. And I want to do checksum, virus check, no tar file. I still need the archivist approval. If you don't let the archivist come in to approve it manually, you will need to specify a policy. What kind of condition I will move the file to the preservation area. And I don't want to do a replication. Okay, I think that's it. Next, confirm. And I will have a new folder pop up here. Okay, it's running. Okay, I go back to my favorite client to ingest data. They are all text files except the last one. This is a virus test file. So it will tell you I am virus, but actually it is not virus. Just try to make sure the system is working. So I upload. The advantage of this interface is it can show you the progress and that you can schedule your job, do it later. Okay, I come back here. You see there are more checksums applied to this collection. And let's click one of them. You can see the status is only 50% because we have two tests to perform. Checksum and the bias check. Bias check is more resource, consume more resources. So I try to make the transfer as quick as possible. So I did it later. Also, this is a periodic rule. that are running in the background, and it will check if this file needs to do the write check, and it will do it later. So while we are waiting, I will let Veronica do in his presentation, and we will come back later. Okay. Thank you.
Hey, good morning, everyone. As Mark mentioned, my name is Veronica Martzel. My apologies to any of you who came hoping to see Elliot Wilczek. I know there's probably some Elliot groupies out there. I had to mention that since he's sitting there. I'm the records archivist with Tufts University Digital Collections and Archives. And I will be giving you sort of a user perspective of the appeal of DCAPE. A little bit about our institution. We are a central administration office with a mandate across the entire university, which includes the undergraduate program, multiple graduate and professional programs, and it stretches across three separate campuses. Within the digital collections and archives itself, we have three main components. We have the records management program, the university archives, which you can see our lovely new reading room. We just moved into a new space, as well as a Fedora Commons repository, which we manage in conjunction with university information technology and academic technology. For this presentation, I'm going to focus a little bit on our Fedora Commons repository. It has two instances or two components to it, our Tufts Digital Library, dl.tufts.edu, as well as the Dark Archives. It's running on Fedora Commons 3.3, and we have over 100,000 objects in various types that you would expect in your digital library, lots of images, oral histories and collection objects. We have recently started a Dark Archives instance within the Fedora repository, which focuses on a closed stack area where we can have much more restricted access to our university records. So you may be wondering, given that we have our own institutional repository, why would we be interested in the DCAPE project? I really feel that answer can be summarized in three very closely related reasons for leveraging resources, scalability, and the advantages of the microservices that DCAPE offers. Leveraging resources. As I'm sure many of you know, working towards a trusted repository is a very, very long and difficult process. Here's a little bit of information on our staffing levels, and I know we have a good staff, and even so, demands continue to increase. Even with this robust staff, we find ourselves maxing out our ability to meet the needs that are being made upon us, which ties into scalability issues, that the amount of materials that we are being asked to process is increasing exponentially. A recent accession that I handled coming in from our university photography department covered only the months of March 05 through January 06. And this was something that the department had gone through. They had culled out just the images they wanted. There were 9,199 images that we now need to deal with. Our current procedures that we have in place are just not capable of handling that sort of volume. And that's where the third factor comes in, and the appeal of the microservices that DCAPE offers to us. It gives us an opportunity to place local control over an outsourced service. Whether it be the virus scanning, creation of preservation formats or replication, or creation and checking of checksums, it takes our policies and imposes them on a larger scale. Why would we choose DCAPE over other service options that are out there? Cloud storage vendors are starting to market to various repository services. but they don't really understand exactly what they're talking about. They are talking about digital preservation, but for them, that's just making sure the bits are okay. And as archivists, we know that there's a lot more to it than that. DCAPE is a program that is being developed by archivists for archivists. And it gives us the opportunity to really utilize all the skills that we have. It gives us the opportunity to utilize our local policies on a much broader scale. And it's customizable, as Chenyi's demonstration is showing. You can choose different options for various collections. There may be, you know, the publications of the, you know, Tufts daily newspaper may not need the same care and attention and same set of policies that the Office of the Trustees records would. So we're able to customize what we do to each record set. It's not a cookie cutter solution. And just the inside joke is Tufts University are the jumbos, jumbo the elephant. So that's. The other factor is the customizability of the metadata. We didn't really go much into that with the demo because that would be a pretty extensive process. But having that ability to create your own metadata customization in your own template that would be repeatable over time that you can save what you're looking for. So incorporating those elements, you know, whatever metadata schema and set of attributes you're looking to include, you know, what premise or if you have some sort of local standards that you're incorporating, you know, having that ability is a real big draw of this. Okay, so that concludes my part of the presentation, and hopefully in this intervening time our live demo has completed its whirling in the background, so I will turn us back over to Chenyi. Thank you.
I say I will be back. Okay. Let's see. It's only refresh on the audit trail, so you can see they have done the vice check for the SAA demo 2 folder, and they also did the collection replication and the move collection for the SAA demo 1. So we just need to refresh this. Okay, you see the SAA demo 1 disappear. Where is it? So it's in the preservation area. Okay. So now let's check the content of the SAA demo 2. Good. We pick up the virus. You can see it says, it tells you it's 100%, means we have done all the tests for this file, but it is in red because something was wrong. So you click this file, and then you check the policy part. You can see, huh, I pick up a ICAR test signature found. So this is not a real virus, but it's for testing. So we can go back to SAA demo 2 folder, and we click the policy. And again, the button. So I click yes. Come back. And it will go into the queue, and the system, the rule engine will pick up this rule and do the move the collection to a preservation area later. While we are waiting, we can go back to my slide. So if we go back to the initial capabilities, different institutions have different policies and different requirements. So some people would like to do the deduplication, And the partner, our DCAP partner, technical partner from West Virginia University, they have a good tool that we can use. And I'm working on integrate their tool into our DCAP services. Then later you will have a deduplication service. Some people would like the normalization services, file format services, and the file format migration services. So as long as they are open source, we can try to integrate them into our workflow. Then they will show up on the policy. You can easily pick up the policy you want and apply them to your collection. Okay, come back. Here it says the SA demo 2, has been moved to the new location. So let's refresh this again. Close this, open it. We have SAA demo 2 in this collection. So when you click it, you can see they are all still like the original order, 5 files. If you go to SAA demo 1, each file has 2 copies because we specify the policy to do the replication automatically. So once they move into the preservation area, it will do a replication automatically for you. So next step for the interface is try to integrate more services. And I got lots of requests to make this look better. So that's the part I'm still working on. Even my wife doesn't like this interface. Okay. I think that's our presentation today. Thank you.
I just wanted to point out one thing about the demo that's going on behind the scenes. The virtual loading dock is on a different storage device than the preservation area. So it's kind of a quarantine space because you don't know what you're bringing in to that virtual loading dock. And then there are 2 different storage devices for those replications as well. So we're, one interface, but you're dealing with 3 different storage devices at least. You know, when we get to a full service, it could be even more than that.
Yeah.
So
in this slide, you can see in the bottom the resources we use for virtual loading dock and the preservation area are different. They can on the same machine, but it's not good. So you even can have resource on different machine or at different state. Thank you. That's our presentation today. Thank you.
Okay, we actually have about 20 minutes for questions. This session is being recorded, so I'm going to repeat the questions before the panelists take their shots at them. So who has a question? Yes, ma'am. So the question is for Veronica, specifically having to do with what's the relationship between their Fedora repository and the DCAPE repository. Is that fair?
For users. Right.
For users. Okay.
With the way that iRODS works, you can sort of have different things layered on top of it. So I think there's the vision that there would be the options to build multiple disseminators on top of the system. So there would be, eventually a range of interfaces that, the client could choose from to, access their material, whether it be an open access to the world or whether it be more of a closed stack interface. I believe on sort of the technical end, I know one of the things that was very interesting to the developers was the idea of being able to have iRODS and Fedora talking to each other, working, I think, probably beyond the scope of this specific project, of being able to pull things directly out of Fedora and putting things directly back in. It's definitely in the thoughts, but yeah, beyond sort of what we've developed right now, and also making sure that we have the broader disseminators available to the smaller institutions that wouldn't have that option to have some sort of interface available.
We have a project called Padre. It's working on integrate Fedora on top of IROS. So you can use Fedora as an interface to store your object into IROS. Also, if you store object into IROS, it will show up on your Fedora. So if you want to know more about this, probably Richard Marciano can say more about this to you later.
A little bit of background on IRODS. IRODS is an incredibly powerful data management system. It's used for everything from huge astronomy and geospatial collections to small collections running on people's laptops. Full disclosure, the National Archives was one of the major funders of the development of IRODS. But it's used in communities all over the world in lots of different domains. There are, I think, somewhere in the neighborhood of about 6 dozen different interfaces running on top of IRODS right now, and they provide APIs to connect lots of other ones. I know there are DSpace instances. Do you have Fedora instances? I'm looking at Richard Marciano in the back. Yes, you do have Fedora instances already running on top of IRODS. So it's, pick your favorite interface, but this tool and the DKAPE services are specifically looking at how do you put in archival policies. Okay, I'm not doing a paper. I'll shut up now. Other questions? Yes, sir. Do we have geographic distribution for the resources in this example?
In this demo, no. But we can set up different resources at different locations, as I spoke earlier, but not for this demo right now.
When we get to building our business model and coming up with moving this out of the development phase into a real service, we'll definitely need to look at geographical separation, but not at this phase of the project. Absolutely.
There are other IRODS projects that literally have physical resources located on opposite sides of the globe running, and the interfaces on your laptop. It's transparent. This morning, Tani was dragging files from his desktop to resources at RENCI?
Yeah.
So we were hitting North Carolina and coming back.
Yeah, the testing is not running on my laptop. It's sending file to RENCI in North Carolina.
Other questions?
Bon.
Okay, so the question was, say you have a major disaster at one of the facilities, one of the resources where the records are located, will you be able to call someone at DKAPE and get them to get you back online using other parts of the system?
I think that's the whole concept of the replication, having multiple copies and then geographically separating them so, they wouldn't be affected by, hopefully, by the same disaster at the same time. Never know, but those will certainly be, in our plan. Those are certainly issues we've discussed, as a project team.
Let me give you an example. If you have two copies, let's say one in North Carolina, one in California, and you want to access this data, but there is a wildfire in San Diego, so you cannot get the file, but you still be able to get a copy in North Carolina.
Yeah, Ted. I swear he's not a plant.
You want to repeat the question?
Yeah, the question is, Ted was glad to see that we've got the virus checking capability in there, that the DCAPE service has it in there, but what's the policy once you've detected a virus? Do you scrub it? Do you reject it? What do you do?
Mm-hmm. We had a DCAPE partners meeting on Wednesday. Is it Wednesday? Losing track of days now. And that exact question came up when Jenny demonstrated it. As we mentioned at the very beginning, this is an alpha, pre-alpha version of the interface, and we haven't defined what those policy steps are. We did as we went back to the team. What do you want the choices to be? And so, you know, we'll start, Chen-Yi will start building those once we have the list of what do archivists, not what does Chen-Yi, but what do archivists want those choices to be. And, there's always, with this whole, the flexibility of the system, say the DCAPE team comes up with three choices, and then future customers of the service identify two more choices that they'd like to see added, there will be that flexibility to add in, other customizable choices, other policies over time to, the whole dashboard of choices. So, issues like what do you do, when the virus check fails are things we're still working on. And so our team is going through all of the services and talking about what kinds of policies and options we want. And now that you've seen a little bit of the interface, and if you visit our website and want to provide us with some feedback or suggestions as well, we're certainly open to the ideas of the rest of the archival community as well, if you would like to give us some feedback. So
I would just follow up and emphasize sort of what Karen was saying, that they are choices. So you may make a difference decision of what you want to do. You may quarantine out one single file. You may have the choice to quarantine the entire deposit that you had and pull it all back, but that is in your control going forward.
Yeah, as long as you can tell me what you want. I will try to make it happen.
Yes, sir. Is there a timetable for any releases?
Not exactly just yet. I mean, we certainly have a timetable for the grant and deliverables associated with the grant. But as far as when the DCAPE service will be a service that all archival repositories can use, we have not defined a timeline for that just yet.
So the question is, can you audit your replicas over time looking for bit rot? Is that what you're asking? Okay. And you mentioned that the ACE software developed by UMIAX at the University of Maryland has just been released, and could that be added as a microservice? I'm going to take Chair's prerogative here and give a quick answer. You can already do that with IRODs. But you could, and I'll shut up. I'll let Chen-Yi talk.
Yeah, of course. We can try to do that as long as we can access to their tool. There are multiple. There are lots of different tools that you can use to do the fixity check, like ACE, and the easiest one is checksum. And the duplication tool from West Virginia University, they can achieve the same goal. Maybe in the future we will have the option, you can pick up the tool you want to do the fixed check.
So the question is, let's see if I can summarize this correctly. Most of the services that have been demonstrated here this morning are server-side on remote servers. Would it be possible to have some of the resources used with the DCAPE service be local resources? For example, could you have your loading dock as a local resource? Is that fair? Okay.
Every resource within IROS, you need to run an IROS instance in front of your local storage devices. And every IROS instance will have a rule engine. So the policy will run on top of the storage devices. So you have if you have different IROS instances on running on different locations, the policy will apply to your storage is the policy on that IROS instance. So if you want to run an IROS as your local virtual loading dock, we can do that.
Other questions? So the question is, have any of the DCAPE partners worked with records creator generated metadata and incorporating that into their collections management? Is that fair summary?
I guess as the partner representative, I'll field that one. I would say what we've done sort of locally and sort of outside the scope of DCAPE is we have moved towards taking a limited amount of record creator metadata, particularly in the fields of undergraduate theses and e-scholarship. But it's still a very manual and clunky process for us. We've built another submission tool that actually, if you want to hear about this afternoon, my colleague Chris DeFerrante will be talking about our TAPER project, which has a way to incorporate additional metadata into it, but we're moving it from these tools into our collection management database, and then it comes out into various templates, and from there into FoxML and into Fedora. So that's still there's a lot of manual work still going into that. So unfortunately, it's not the most promising example to give to you at the moment. Oh, and Elliot has a comment.
Just as a general observation, IRODS, the technology behind this, certainly has the capability of ingesting user-created metadata, and it's done on very large scales by a lot of projects in a lot of domains around the world. At NCAST, where I work, we've ingested item-level metadata for State Department cables and loaded them in there. If you have your data in a format that's easily translatable into a table, you do have the ability with the metadata catalog for IRODS to add your own fields, your own tables to that catalog. It's very extensible. So the question is, what consideration have you given to an exit strategy if a partner decides they want to leave DCAPE and take their records, their data with them? What consideration have you given to that?
I'm going to answer you from a project perspective, and then I'll let Chen Yi answer you from a technical perspective. When we were assembling partners for the grant proposal itself, that was a question that came up. And we have to approach it from two perspectives. First of all, whatever technology we're working on today isn't going to be around forever. And so there has to be, some way to you know, keep moving the records, the data, and sustaining them beyond today's technology. And then, yes, there's always the very real possibility that people who start using, that archival repositories that start using DKAPE will change their mind. And so, it's certainly been discussed that there has to be a way to get records out. And I'll let Chinyi answer from a technical perspective, how that's handled.
From technical perspective, I think I don't know why not. Because
how are you planning to do it right now? What's your idea of how it would be done?
I mean, the goal is that the records themselves are kind of independent from the system. So there's certain packaging, but they're really not, they are existing independent of the system to a certain extent. Clearly this is still a very beginning level of the system. It's on the list of services that that the team developed. Whether or not clearly Chinyi hasn't started developing the capability to do it yet, but but it is on the list of service rules and requirements of the system.
In the policy I showed you earlier, when you move your submission information package into the archival information package, you have an option to create a tar file of your collection. So you can just get a tar file out of the system, then you have your AIP. And we can also provide some sort of metadata explore function for you to explore metadata for the whole collection and include that in the tar file for you.
I was just going to add, thank you for bringing up that question, because we are in the process of writing out the business plan, and I think that'll be a good component that we can, state right at the beginning how to get things out, and that when you get your things out, we'll take these steps to make sure your replicates are gone and they're not, like, lingering copies and things like that. So thank you for bringing up the topic.
And the underlying technology, IRODS, is designed for infrastructure independence. We've got, at the National Archives, we've got a testbed with about 20 million files in it that we've run across probably a dozen generations of two different data grids coming out of this same group. So it can be done. And I'm afraid we're actually over time. Thank you very much for coming out at 8 o'clock in the morning. Thank our speakers. And enjoy the rest of the day. Thanks.